Hi, my name is Roger Oberg. I'm Vice President of Marketing and Strategy for IBM Rational, and I'm here to talk about SOA governance, what's new and what's coming. So I'm going to share with you today, just in a few minutes, what SOA governance is, what IBM has understood from hundreds of engagements with customers, the SOA governance lifecycle looks like, how we can facilitate that lifecycle with services and methodology and products from IBM, how a particular customer has begun to use some of these capabilities to implement SOA governance, and then summarize what we've recently announced about IBM's SOA governance capabilities. So let's start with, what is SOA governance? Well, it's a supporting set of activities to the people, information, and processes that one applies to transforming an organization to a services-based organization. And it specifically is intended to help organizations understand and establish clear roles of responsibility and decision-making authority that empower their people to do the right things when implementing service-oriented architectures. And it's also about establishing the policies and measurements and controls that people need to know how they're progressing in their SOA transformation. So SOA governance is very much about helping people get clarity on what they're trying to do and how they're trying to do it. And SOA, as you have probably understood in your own work around it, can be very challenging in that regard because it challenges the traditional ways of IT and business often being separated in the way they're working together. And because SOA brings business and IT together much more closely, the issue of governance and roles and responsibilities become more critical. And of course, if you're effective at implementing SOA governance, the value is that you get to ensure that the business needs are, in fact, delivered by your services-oriented architecture, that you mitigate the business risk and maintain control over SOA projects better, and overall improve your team's effectiveness. What IBM has, in working with many customers, has defined for SOA governance is that it's really a set of activities in a continuous life cycle that begins with a set of planning activities for when you begin the process of adopting services-oriented architectures. It's a set of activities to define how services are going to be made reusable, what policies you're going to want to associate with those services, what additional information you're going to want to capture and associate with those services. The next step in this life cycle is that it helps you understand what you need to do to enable your team to manage services, what infrastructure is required to manage services at design time, at runtime, and in deployment. And last but not least, it's a set of activities around how to measure the value of and performance of services in your organization. So this life cycle of planning, defining, enabling, and measuring your plans to implement SOA are what SOA governance, what the SOA governance life cycle is all about. So let's take each one of them just independently and talk a little bit about what we mean when we say planning for SOA governance. So when we plan, we're establishing the governance need. We're documenting and validating a business strategy for SOA that IT and the business agree on. We're assessing our current capabilities around in IT to implement a services-oriented architecture. We're defining and then, of course, continuing to refine the service-oriented architecture strategy for the business. And we're reviewing our current capabilities and arrangements, and finally laying out how we're going to tackle the implementing effective governance. In the define phase of the life cycle for SOA governance, we're designing policies and enforcement mechanisms, identifying what the success factors will be for our implementation, what metrics we're going to tie to measure. We're going to identify who the owners are for different services. Very often when services are created, they're intended to support multiple lines of business, and so clear ownership is something that people discover needs to be established up front and early. And the same is true of funding. So this is part of the define step in the life cycle of governance. This might be an excellent time to consolidate resources and expertise into an SOA center of excellence in as you define the approach to governance. And this is when you begin to define the infrastructure that you're going to need to manage services in design and run and in deployment. The next step is enablement. This is where we actually deploy the governance functionality. These could be a business service, registries, repositories. These can be change management solutions during design time. And this is when we educate people on the use of these infrastructure technologies to support services. And in the measure and phase, this is where we monitor and manage the governance process. We use things to monitor the business processes that we have created through the use of services and composite applications. And when we we monitor the deployed performance of those services and can react to whether they're performing as planned or not. So how does IBM facilitate this SOA governance lifecycle that we've defined through our engagements with many customers? Well, for each of these phases of the lifecycle, plan, define, enable, and measure, we have methodology and services and tools to help customers, in the case of planning, assess their capabilities and define a roadmap for achieving their goals. In the case of the defining step, tools to catalog and begin to and services to help establish policies around the highest value services. In the enablement phase, we have registry and repository. We have change management tools, as I mentioned earlier. So we have the infrastructure needed to enable the teams to manage the service assets that are being created and deployed. And, of course, we have a number of different kinds of dashboards appropriate for different levels of the organization to measure the effectiveness of the services implementation. At Mitsui Soko, when they began to plan for SOA governance, they discovered on their own this exact life cycle and started their process by identifying the appropriate roles and responsibilities for SOA governance, and in fact used early iterations of the IBM SOA governance methodology that is part of what we announced last week to define those roles and responsibilities. They then established, with the help of IBM, an SOA Center of Excellence to help collect best practices as they began to evolve their services implementation. And finally, as they began to deploy tooling to implement services and to manage services, they have began a series of educational activities to make sure that the employees on the teams implementing services were made aware of the policies that they had decided upon and were made aware of the different roles and responsibilities involved in implementing the services-oriented architecture. And the quote from the senior managing director at Mitsui Soko is very telling. SOA governance is most important. We need to settle it before we go into implementation phase. IBM's knowledge and methodologies help us to be successful. So what did we announce last week with the IBM SOA governance announcement? We announced that unlike what the popular press has reported in the past, SOA governance requires much more than simply a runtime registry for capturing service assets. It's really the things we've been talking about today, helping organizations to establish decision rights that make it clear what people's jobs are so they can be empowered to do those jobs. It's about establishing policies and measurements and control mechanisms. So defining SOA governance more holistically is part of what we announced last week. Secondly, we announced new service and methodology from our BCS teams. The IBM SOA governance and management practice was announced, and the IBM SOA governance and management method, which documents best practices in governance that we've derive from hundreds of engagements, hundreds of service engagements with customers. And last but not least, we announced a number of enabling technologies last week. First and foremost, with the Rational Method Composer product, which is an authoring and configuration tool for process and methodology, we announced a new plugin based on the SOA governance and management method from BCS that will allow customers to have a process, documented process for SOA governance in their hands that they can customize for their own purposes. We announced the new Rational Data Architect, which is to help organizations model information more effectively, that will then be used by their services. We announced the WebSphere Service Registry and Repository, clearly a critical need, although not everything that one needs for governance, an important aspect of governance to be able to manage services at runtime so that they can be discovered and reused. And we announced the Tivoli Change and Configuration Management Database so that in deployment we can understand what the network configuration parameters are for the services that we're going to deploy. And last but not least, we announced the Workplace Business Strategy Execution product, which is one of the dashboards, this one particularly well suited to executives who want to track strategy milestones, perhaps using the balanced scorecard methodology that comes with the Workplace Business Strategy Execution, but also to use this as a portal for aggregating different views into different parts of the SOA transformation effort that customers may have started on. And so this Workplace Business Strategy Execution is a terrific place for executives to understand how the strategy for SOA is progressing in their organizations. So I appreciate you listening today. This is Roger Oberg with IBM. And if you have questions about the IBM SOA governance offerings or what we mean by SOA governance, please go to www.ibm.com/software/solutions/SOA/gov. Thanks for listening.